Haskell, Brother and Sister, St. Helena, California, September 16, 1901. Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, at 2:30 this morning I left my bed and found under my door several letters, one from you, one from Elder Daniels to Elder Brunson, and still another from Elder Brunson. I think now that I have specified them all. I have written you a letter, but could not get it copied in time to send in this morning's mail, and as I wish to send Elder Daniels a copy, I cannot send it till this afternoon's mail. I have written you that the Lord had graciously answered your prayers, and our prayers as a household in behalf of your mission, that help should come to you. We have praised the Lord that you could have Elder Brunson as your helper. With regard to Elder Brunson going to Berrien Springs, the school there has many experienced helpers who have an understanding of the word and can carry forward the work. In Elder Brunson, the Lord has provided a helper for you, to stand with you, with whom you can leave the work in New York if necessary, as far as your personal presence is concerned, though still bearing it on your soul as a burden of interest. Do not consent to let Elder Brunson respond to the call to go to Berrien Springs. The work now entered upon in New York is of fully as much consequence as the work at Berrien Springs, considering the present and future results. Be assured that the work which you have taken up is of great importance. It is highly essential that a memorial for God be built up in New York, that a center be made there and a church organized, even though small in numbers. The end is not yet, and now, just now, the Lord calls for every talent to be employed in His work. He would have more laborers added to the force in New York. Do not let Elder Brunson go. The light is very clear in regard to this matter. There are some other things which I shall speak of in my coming letter. Light has been given me in reference to the Lord's way of working and the obstructions that would be brought up to oppose, but these things should not hinder Brother and Sister Haskell and Brother Brunson from moving forward, leaning on the arm of the one who has said, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. Lean heavily, but only on God. Pray in faith, and believe that ye receive the things ye ask for. We have a risen Savior, not a dead Christ. He broke the fetters of the tomb and came forth from its dark borders, triumphantly proclaiming his victory over death and the grave, saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. He is our Savior. He will save all who come to him confessing their sins. He will say to them, "Thy sins be forgiven thee. Go in peace and sin no more." I cannot express to you the satisfaction I receive as I pray for you in your labor. Christ is with you. Ministering angels are with you in your meetings, where the gospel is preached in its purity. Take hold of divine power. Hold fast to him who is your righteousness, and you may be sure that the glory of the Lord will be your reward. Rather than have the work in New York interrupted, I would hire money and pay interest on it in order to carry the work forward. Do not fail nor be discouraged. I have been instructed that the Lord has given men talents to improve in the acquirement of wealth to be used in opening doors through which the precious truth will find entrance. Those God has blessed with means will work as His helping hand in reaching those who have means and influence. Thus He will sustain missionary work among the higher classes. Altogether, too little effort has been put forth for men in responsible places in the world who possess superior qualifications, means, and influence. These gifts are entrusted to them by the Lord to be increased and imparted to others. The wealthy men of the world have souls to save, and God calls upon His ministers to present to them the living word of a living God, giving the message, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. Who gives men power to get wealth? It is the Lord, and He desires the moneyed men to be converted and act as His helping hand in reaching other men. He desires those who can help in his work of reform and restoration to see the precious light of truth and be transformed in character, that they may unite with the majesty of heaven in using his entrusted capital of means to open the way whereby other wealthy men may see that now is their time and opportunity to use their means in saving souls ready to perish. He would have them invest the means he has lent them in doing good, opening the way for his gospel to be preached to all classes.
This is the work he desires to see done in New York. This great city is full of wickedness, crime, injustice, and all kinds of depravity. But God has many people in this city whom he would have become Bible Christians, that he may use them to tell the wealthy as well as the lowly what each must do to be saved. Let nothing draw you from the work. Men and women may unite with the Prince of Heaven in turning souls from unrighteousness to righteousness. The people must have the saving truth for this time. Entreat the men who have means to return to the Lord the treasures he has lent them in trust, that in New York there may be established a center from which Bible truth, in its simplicity, can be given to the people. Many all through the city are praying for light. They want to understand what is truth. Men who have money will reveal a living faith in the Word of God and will return to the Lord the means he has lent them in trust, that light may shine amid the darkness of sin and error. God calls for men and women of talent to use their capabilities in convincing the weary and heavy laden that Christ is not only their Creator, but their Redeemer. He gave his precious life for them. He bought men with his blood, that he might bear the curse of their sin and impute to them his righteousness. I am instructed to tell you, my brother, to seek to save the men of wealth. Tell them to lay up their treasure beside the throne of God, by employing their talents in devising means and opening ways for the salvation of souls ready to perish, that their names may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. The Lord desires the men he has been proving and testing by entrusting them with the talent of intellect and the talent of means to lay up their treasure in heaven by returning to the Lord their substance, enabling his workers to do good, to advance his glory. If they do this, they will receive a crown of life which will never perish. My heart is with in your work. Christ will be your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption. We must now elevate the standard higher and still higher. I feel an intense desire that the wealthy and honorable men of the world shall be sought out and appropriately and wisely educated, taught to seek for the eternal weight of glory. While there are many who will not heed the counsel of God in His Word, the whole world will not turn from light and truth, from the invitations of a patient, forbearing Savior. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first,
and also to the Gentile. Romans 2, verse 4 to 10. Mark the words, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Verses 6, 7. Then how earnestly we should work for this class in the highways as well as for those in the byways. There are many, many souls who will come to the knowledge of the truth if earnest effort is put forth to save them. Shall we pass by the men to whom the Lord has entrusted his goods? The compassionate Redeemer bids his servants give to both rich and poor the call to the supper. Go out into the highways and hedges, and by your persevering, determined efforts, compel them to come in. I have prepared my supper for them. I have made every preparation to seat them at my bountiful repast and to serve them. Will not heaven be appreciated by the worldly wise men? Oh, yes. There they will find rest and peace and repose from all trifling and all ambition to secure the highest place. Strive for this class. Urge them to seek for the peace and happiness and joy that Christ is longing to bestow on them. Let ministers of the gospel take hold of these worldly, moneyed men and bring them into the banquet of truth which Christ has prepared for them. He has provided for them a wedding garment, pure and white, even the robe of his righteousness. Tell them that Christ is proffering them this garment, spotless as the pure white lily. Will they accept it? Pass not by the wealthy men. Urge them to give their attention to securing the richest gift that can be given to mortal man, the robe of Christ's righteousness. Link yourselves, ministers of the gospel, in Christ's stead. Labor with this class. Pass them not by as hopeless. He who gave his precious life for them says, "Bring them in, seat them at my table, and I shall serve them." Work with all the persuasion possible, and as the fruit of your efforts, you will see in the kingdom of heaven men and women who will be crowned as overcomers to sing the triumphant song of the conqueror. "They shall walk with me in white, saith the first and the last, for they are worthy." Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3, verse 4, 5. Unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Romans 2, verse 8 to 10. Have we not encouragement to make every effort possible to save wealthy men, those honored by the world? If they accept Christ, they will receive the very highest honor, which the world can neither give nor take away. Christ offers them the life which measures with the life of God, even a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. They will find that in keeping the commandments there is great reward. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart.
They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Psalm 119, verse 1 to 7. May the Lord arm you who labor in word and doctrine with the clearest message of truth. Give these messages with simplicity, assurance, and all authority. Then the Lord will work with you. But never suppose that by putting on appearance and style you will make a great impression. There is an abundance of this policy, but it does not reveal the righteousness of Christ. Let us have the favor of God. Then we shall walk with Him in white, because we are worthy. When I learned last night that my letter could not be copied in time to go on the morning mail, I thought I must write you a few lines to explain the matter. After writing 4.5 pages by lamplight, I went to my bed, and in the night season I was conversing with you. I seemed to be weighted with a burden. I said, "Elder Haskell, you must have means to advance the work in right lines. The Lord will certainly provide you with means and with helpers, trustworthy men and women who have the true missionary spirit. While in this world the Majesty of Heaven was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Why? Because the men who claimed to be pious were not what they claimed to be. They were striving to make appearance the great power of God, but they failed. We need now minute men who will see the necessity of opening new fields in America and do all in their power to meet this necessity. To enter the fields which have been neglected, to give to the world the precious, saving message of the gospel, is the work that must be done. But it cannot be done without means. Talent is needed. Influence is needed. Not such as the world gives, but such as Christ gives. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14, verse 27. Heed this comforting assurance, and commit the keeping of your souls unto God as unto a faithful Creator. Work and pray and wait, and you will see the salvation of God.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Verses 12 to 19. My brethren Haskell and Brunson, unite your efforts, for the Lord would have you blend together. He knows just what is needed in every line of work. Stand together. Select your helpers, and unitedly advance with the opening providence of God. I need not tell you that He is our sufficiency and strength,
May the Lord be your front guard and your re-reward, is our prayer. It is now 6:30, time for me to go to breakfast. Be assured that we shall pray for you, and be assured also that the work you have begun will not be left to ravel out. Our brethren at Berrien Springs must not forget that there are other places that need workers, and that there are many cities that must be entered. God bless you all.